This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. If you're keeping track of your days, it's another Thursday, May 21st. Later in our episode, hear about elective surgeries, what makes them elective, and what they will look like coming back as we ease coronavirus restrictions. And now, our news. Researchers are warning that more than a quarter of popular English language COVID-19 information videos posted to YouTube are misleading. While nearly three quarters of the videos were deemed accurate, almost 28%, accounting for 62 million screenings, were not. This all comes from a new study from the University of Ottawa in Canada, where researchers say that YouTube viewers should be skeptical, use common sense, and consult reputable sources like public health agencies or physicians to fact-check their information. Well, a long Memorial Day weekend is usually cause for celebration, kicking off the start of summer. But what does a weekend even mean during coronavirus, when all the days sort of feel the same? We go to Radio MD's Bill Klaproth for more.
So lockdown has stripped us of our normal schedules, that structure of when we work during the week and when we engage in leisure on the weekends. And that's a problem. Without structure and normalcy, rates of depression and anxiety go up, adding to an already extremely stressful time. So the question is, how can we put that normalcy and leisure time back into our weekends? Lori Santos, a psychology professor at Yale University, says we need to find ways to replicate the routines we had previously as much as possible to bring some normalcy back to the odd situation we find ourselves in. So if there were things you previously did on the weekends, try to replicate those as much as possible. And she goes on to say, leisure time is important, particularly in stressful periods. So here's hoping you find some normalcy and leisure time this Memorial Day weekend. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
The first socially distant concert happened this week in Arkansas. Country singer Travis McCreery held an intimate show for a small number of fans. The venue's 1,100-person maximum capacity was reduced to just 229 seats. Fans were kept 6 feet apart, and attendees' temperatures were taken. Fans were required to wear face masks, and bathrooms were limited to 10 people at a time. The event was also live-streamed for a paid online audience. Now, dentists in Michigan are urging their governor to allow them to resume routine dental care, saying pushing it off further could lead to another potential public health crisis. Radio MD's Scott Webb has more.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is being urged by many Michigan dentists to reopen dental offices for routine care, arguing that putting off such care could result in a public health crisis, according to local Michigan NBC affiliate Wood TV. Many dentists are growing concerned that prohibiting routine care for an extended time will allow minor dental issues to become painful and costly medical emergencies. The governor's husband is a dentist, and she's made it clear that she's unwilling to budge on the issue at the moment. A lawsuit was filed May 12th against the governor by three healthcare organizations and a patient seeking the restoration of non-essential medical care. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
There are hundreds of thousands of patients who have had to put their surgeries on hold due to the COVID-19 pandemic and the need for hospital space and safety, including hip surgeries, knee surgeries, and many more. But what deems a surgery elective? How long can you wait? To answer these questions and a few more is Dr. Derek Ochiai, an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine expert in Arlington, Virginia. So, doctor, let's start with that first question. What deems a surgery elective?
Well, the standard definition is something that if you didn't perform it right then, that there would be no life or limb threatening consequences in orthopedics.
And I mean, what are some examples of elective surgeries? Are these people that are in like pain, or are they more cosmetic? I mean, just to give people an idea, what are we thinking of when we talk about a surgery that is elective?
These people are typically, the patients are in pain or they have significant dysfunction. I'm not a plastic surgeon, so none of my surgeries are cosmetic. For instance, somebody trips and falls and they tear their ACL of their knee. It's a major knee ligament. Their knee can feel unstable. The knee can feel like it gives out when they pivot or just step off a curb. That pairing or reconstructing that ACL tear would be considered an elective surgery because the patient, you know, wouldn't die or they wouldn't lose their limb if you didn't do surgery. A rotator cuff tear where somebody falls and then they fall on their arm and they tear their rotator cuff. They can't lift their arm. They're, mm-hmm. they're having pain at night. They're needing to take medications for the pain. That's still considered an elective surgery.
And how do you expect this changing as states begin to open back up? I know a few are already doing these types of surgery.
Yeah, I mean, we as a country, we didn't know what our capacity would be with COVID-19 pandemic taking over, and would that stress our healthcare capacity so much that by doing non-urgent surgeries, would that place too much of an additional burden on our healthcare system when the healthcare system is focusing so much on COVID-19. It's changed. I'm started doing elective surgeries this week. These are necessary surgeries. So I really want your listeners to know that these are patients who are having chronic pain, and a lot of them are miserable because of whatever condition I'm treating. I normally do hip arthroscopy and hip preservation surgery, and a lot of these patients, they can't sit in a chair for 20 minutes because it hurts them so much, and they're having pain at night, and you know, I'm worried that some people might resort to other ways of self-medicating in order to just try to take the edge off of pain that could be relieved pretty reliably with surgery. So going forward, at this point, it seems that our hospital capacity to treat COVID is not going to get overwhelmed, so that healthcare providers have to make a choice of which patients to treat and which patients not to. Thank goodness that hasn't happened. The elective surgeries are actually medically necessary in a lot of cases, and it's not just what I do in orthopedics. It's cardiology. It's doing stents. It's general surgery. It's OBGYN procedures. It's ear, nose, and throat procedures. So a lot of these surgeries, even though it says elective, that doesn't really mean that it's not necessary surgery. It just means that it doesn't have to be done within 48 hours or something horrible will absolutely happen.
That's interesting because, when I hear elective, I thought that kind of meant optional.
Well, I mean, it's optional in that you could live your life without it, perhaps. I mean, although you can argue that a lot of cardiology procedures, you may have some very bad consequences without having them. But it's not really optional in the patients that I have because they've already made the decision that they can't continue to live with their hip or knee or shoulder condition the way it is. And so they've made the decision that we've tried everything non-operatively and certainly during this pandemic, I mean, we've tried a lot of non-surgical pain management therapies in order to try to get people through, but if they were that effective, then people wouldn't be having elective surgery. So it's you do the best you can, and we're past the point where there's going to be an overload to our healthcare system at this point. So I think opening up elective surgeries in a safe manner makes a lot of sense. I mean, you certainly have to screen everybody, perhaps test everybody. I'm wearing an N95 mask underneath another mask and face shield. The surgery center that I'm operating on takes the temperature of every staff member, not just the patients, but every staff member every day. And we're trying to do the best we can to make elective surgery as safe as possible.
Looking even farther down the line, when we do have a bit of distance between us and the pandemic, what do you think the new normal of elective surgery will look like? Do you think we'll go back to, what it was before?
Probably. I think that elective surgery is something that a lot of patients actually need. And I certainly wasn't doing elective surgeries for fun. I mean, every patient that I've operated on before needs it. Is it possible in the short term that people would be less active and perhaps not sustain as many orthopedic injuries? that was one of the reasons why stay at home was recommended, or it's still recommended in a lot of places. It's not just to maintain social distancing, but if you don't get into a car, you can't get into a car accident. If you don't get into a car accident, you don't have to go to the emergency room. You know, so there's other benefits of stay at home, not just for not having the disease directly transmitted, but also not overloading the healthcare system with trauma. So if you know, stay at home, but you bounce on a trampoline all the time, or your kids do, they can still get hurt and still need to go to the emergency room, where they may have an increased risk of exposure that they wouldn't have had if they didn't injure themselves.
Wrapping up here, doctor, you know, if someone's listening and they do have an elective surgery that has been postponed, but they're a little nervous, I mean, should they wait, or are you pretty confident that getting back to quote unquote normal business is good right now? What should those people, you know, who have been on hold start to think about?
Well, I mean, it's not normal business in my practice right now. You know, we're taking a lot of additional precautions. That's going to make surgeries go more slowly because we're being extremely careful on maintaining social distancing and trying to do surgery in as safe a manner as possible. Mm-hmm. I would certainly talk to your doctor or your surgeon about the risks and benefits of doing an elective procedure now versus waiting. I think that there are commercially available tests for COVID-19 that may be appropriate for you to do, especially given whatever medical history that particular patient has. I think if you really feel like you need surgery and you're miserable, and especially if you're contemplating starting like narcotic pain medications, which can lead to a whole other host of problems, I think that it would be reasonable to proceed and relatively safe.
Great. Anything you want to add just about, you know, seeing a reopen and a return to elective surgeries?
Wanted to say that it's not normal right now. Mm-hmm. And the personal protective equipment that a lot of people have to wear, like an N95 mask, is not the most comfortable thing in the world to wear.
Of course, yeah.
But I am very happy that I'm able to get back to treating patients and giving them surgeries that can help them feel like they got their life back.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. It's actually our last daily episode. We're shifting to a weekly schedule now. And we're also taking a long weekend off here at Radio MD for Memorial Day. So what that means is our next episode will come out on Wednesday, and then only on Wednesdays after that. If you want to know more or why the change, you could always reach out to us at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. Enjoy this beautiful Thursday. I hope it's beautiful where you are. And take some time to enjoy the Memorial Day weekend safely and at a distance from others. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.